Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. We're providing you news and commentary rooted in a commitment to individual liberty, personal responsibility, limited government, and the rule of law. We have with us Mark Shulman. Mark is the founder and publisher of a terrific multimedia website. I hope you'll check it out. It's historycentral.com. Great for kids of all ages, including you and I. Again, historycentral.com. Mark, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Always a pleasure, Bob.
Thank you, Mark. For our listeners' benefit, you're in Tel Aviv right now, and I understand there's some developing news in Israel.
Right. There's actually two stories simultaneously, sort of unconnected. Maybe they're a little bit connected, but in any case. So the first one is the Israeli army, starting in the middle of the night, went into the Palestinian city of Jenin, which has been a center of terrorism, and recently Jenin is in the West Bank. Let me first put that. The West Bank is the area between the state of between Israel and Jordan, captured by Israel in the 1967 Six-Day War, and to this day, not really any solution to it. And the Jenin is within the area of the Palestinian Authority. In any case, from Jenin, rockets were actually attempted to be fired at Israel for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and it's a place where most terrorist attacks that have taken place in the last 6 months all originated. So the army has gone in with at least 1,000 troops and some air support, and there's been fighting going on since early this morning. The army says it will continue until it's done. It's one of those things that people talk about as, you know, like mowing the lawn. There's no real solution. It doesn't solve anything, but it, for the moment, it brings down the level of terrorism to some extent. And it's like, well, you know, again, one of these problems that you don't have any solution, and these are some of the acts you have to do in order to keep terrorism at bay as best as possible.
Kind of like whack-a-mole.
To very much extent, although, you know, I consider it more like, you know, mowing the lawn. It gets too high, you take it down, and it comes back up, and there's no way of removing the lawn, let's put it that way.
Right.
At least not in any humane or legal method, let's put it that way.
Sure.
So that's on one level. The other level, which is separate, is, of course, the government decided to go ahead with its judicial changes all by itself without consensus. It decided to start in one area that's a little less egregious but still problematic. They want to eliminate the ability of the courts to look at a decision by the government and decide that the act of the government is disproportional. In other words, it's something that doesn't follow what's proportional and what's allowed. Again, Israel doesn't have a constitution, so it can't rule based on the constitution, but based on the stuff that what it's doing, you know, violates basic norms, let's say. And they want to eliminate the ability of the court to do that. That's an important tool of balancing. Again, the Israel's main problem when it comes to all these things is it really doesn't have the same separation of powers as the United States does, and therefore the courts are literally the only balancing against a government. And so
Mark, is there any possibility that there should push the pause button and develop a constitution?
It's very hard. There's talk about that, but it's very hard because the basic problems that existed way back when Ben-Gurion was supposed to start a constitutional convention in 1949, but he didn't go ahead with it because there's these insolvable problems of state and religion. Because once you start getting involved in religion, it gets very problematic, and separating out religion from the state is what most people want, but the religious obviously don't, so, and the coalitions are dependent on them, so it's complicated. Now, I should bring in mind that it's 5:30 this afternoon Israel time, it's now 2:15. There's supposed to be a major demonstration at the airport, the attempt being basically almost to bring the airport to a halt. We'll see where that goes. So that's happening simultaneously, and the people leading it, more than anything else, are Israeli veterans. So you have this strange, and not only veterans, but soldiers who do reserve duty. In other words, most Israelis who are veterans up to the age of 40 do reserve duty, and so they're the ones who are leading this more than anything else. So,
and what is they're protesting against this change in government? Is that
government, right? The change they're trying to bring about, without a consensus.
Mm-hmm.
They want to bring that to a halt. People are afraid that it's to some extent what was happened in Poland and in Hungary. It's the way you move from a from a liberal democracy, liberal not in the sense of liberal as conservative, but liberal in terms of checks and balances, to a strongman democracy, which is really basically what Poland and Hungary have these days, with no checks and balances whatsoever. So in both cases, the first thing they did was attack the judiciary.
Yeah.
And limit the powers of the judiciary.
One thing we haven't heard about recently is the Iranian possibility of developing nuclear arms. I wonder if that's in the news at all, and how Israel might be dealing with that issue.
Look, it's in the news. There's talk about some sort of possibility of a deal with the United States to temporary hold to stop it. Look, Israel attacks almost daily Iranian positions in Syria and other places, and there's a whole war that's sort of going on. That's basically called in the Israeli army, they call it the war between the wars. And it's literally been going on quietly with Iranian and Iranian forces, and in terms of Syria, a little bit in Lebanon, and all this is going on a regular basis. There was a case this past week, it didn't make international news, but of course it made big news in Israel, where there was an attempt to attack Israelis who were visiting Cyprus. And it was thwarted by the Israeli security forces and the Cypriot police, but the person responsible for it ran back to Iran, and the Israeli security services went into Iran and interviewed and interrogated the person responsible inside of Iran to get proof. So there's a lot going on. We don't see it all, but it's constant.
Usually, about this stage of development, there's some sort of a worm or some sort of a cyber attack to deal with or set back the whole process of developing a nuclear arm.
Well, there have been various setbacks, and we just don't know. Again, whatever is going to happen, if it's happening, neither side really wants to announce it. The Iranians, because they'd be embarrassed, and the Israelis, because they don't want to take official credit for it.
Yeah, interesting. So. Mark, we need to take a little break. Can you stick around?
Absolutely, Bob.
All right, we're going to have more here on The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of The Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
You have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise Private Wealth Advisor Jason Nardella with Nardella Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Nardella Financial Group today at 239-325-1041. That's 239-325-1041. Office is located at 9015 Stratistel Court, Suite 103, Naples, Florida. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Finish what you started with a Hodges University wheel. You can complete your bachelor's degree in as little as 1 year with your previously earned credits. What's the wheel? It's a customized bachelor's degree in organizational management. Learn about and apply the business, management, and leadership skills you need to advance your career. You can get unmatched educational experience with classes held once a week on campus in Fort Myers, in Port Charlotte, or Naples. You'll be immersed in classes taught by professors with real-world experience in the areas of business, management, and leadership. This degree can be applied to all areas of professional career. Learn more by calling 239-938-7700. That's 239-938-7700. Or visit Hodges.edu. Stay near and go far with Hodges University.
Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by the Foundation for Government Accountability. I proudly serve on their board. They prepare elected officials to create winning strategies in the legislature, and you can find out more by visiting the website, thefga.org, thefga.org. Coming up, we're going to be visiting with Larry Reed, President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. Right now, we continue the conversation with Mark Shulman, the founder and publisher of a terrific multimedia website. It's called HistoryCentral.com. Again, Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Bob.
Thank you, Mark. So much going on right now in France, conflicting stories, as I was hoping you could kind of clarify and let us know what's going on.
Oh, boy, between conflicting stories is really difficult, especially when you're not on the ground. But look, what happened in France France has been for the longest time hot cooking stove ready to explode at any given moment. And that's what really happened. I mean, the killing of the young man who was killed by police, it does not look justifiable, but the police officer involved has been charged with manslaughter, so it's not like they're ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's brought out is there's a huge population of Algerians and other North Africans who basically moved two generations ago when Algeria was part of France, and therefore they had French citizenship. And so the parents, and these are the children or the grandchildren at this point, have grown up in the Paris suburbs, etc. But with inferior education, let's put it that way, and mm-hmm. whether it's their fault or the government's fault, I don't know and understand the situation well enough to tell you, but all I can tell you is there's a tremendous amount of resentment at the government, at in all levels, at the sense of discrimination that exists. I mean, listen, the French are an interesting group of people. They don't like us either, often. You know, you always feel when you're visiting France that they look down upon us white Americans. What do you think they look down upon in some of the Algerians or others that are in the country? And I can imagine it's not a pleasant feeling.
It's so interesting, Mark. One of the things you've done is perhaps dispel the idea that this is recent immigration that's created these problems.
No, it's definitely not recent immigration. This is immigration that goes all the way back to the 60s and before.
Huh.
And these are people who have French citizenship. Remember, Algeria was part of France. It wasn't even a colony. Algeria was considered France.
Hmm.
And you lived in Algeria, you were French citizens. And, of course, you had the French who had moved to Algeria who all came back when Algeria was given independence. But a lot of people from Algeria also came to France because, hey, listen, the same reason that people always move to Western countries. And so you have these huge groups of people. They're not new immigrants. This is not a new immigrant problem. This is an old immigrant problem. And it's an immigrant problem that it's a very large set of immigrants that have never been fully integrated into French society.
Huh.
It's separated out. It's not an immigration problem. I mean, it is in that sense. You know, we're talking generations ago. But we're not talking about all these new immigrants that are caught. No, these are by and large children and grandchildren of the original people who moved to France.
But it does speak to the whole notion of the problems of integrating. For example, in the United States, we did a great job of integrating people into our society, and they became first they developed their own neighborhoods, but then they expanded and became part of the American culture. This doesn't look like this is happening in France.
No, not as much. Remember something else about America. What's unique about America is that we are and have always been a country of immigrants.
Uh-huh.
The basic of it, yeah, right? Leaving aside the Native Americans, they have a right to be... The Native Americans have a right to be against all immigrants.
Right.
You know, I mean, we all came and invaded them in one form or another at some point over the last couple hundred years. But put them aside. Everybody else is an immigrant from somewheres.
Right.
And so, yes, each wave of immigration looks down upon the wave that comes after them. That's the truth of all of American history, going back to the earliest part of the 19th century, quite clearly. You know, whether it was the Germans who came, and the Swedes that came, and then, of course, the Irish, and then the Italians, and the Jews, and you name it. They were all looked down upon by the waves that had come before. But still, it's in the DNA of the United States to accept immigrants, to understand that that's what makes America special.
Right.
And the fact that immigrants want to come to America is also what says something about America. France is not an immigrant society. It wasn't ever built that way. It was a Catholic white country. And the fact that it ended up with immigration was sort of almost an accident.
Uh-huh.
And no one's really planned for it. No one's really understood it in that sense.
Well, before we move to another topic, I do want to the whole notion of closing down the internet in France. It makes me, is there this some sort of an orchestrated movement, or is this kind of a spontaneous chaos that's going on?
I would think it's organized in the sense of trying to cut down communications between various groups. And I mean, look, the riots that have been going on in France make anything that happened in the United States in the last 5 years, whether it was Black Lives Matter on one hand or the January 6th on the other hand, look like, you know, children's activities.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally have, you know, buildings being burnt down in large numbers, and this is very, very serious. Yeah, actions are being taken. It's very clear. Look, obviously it's disproportionate to what happened. I mean, I'm sure it's a terrible tragedy as this one kid was killed, and it's terrible, but, you know, that happens in various ways, and the police took action, arrested their own, and are charging him with certainly minimally manslaughter, if not more than that. So, but this is, you know, this is built up anger over a generation that we're seeing right now.
Well, thank you, Mark. Before I let you go, I'd like to just get a clarification or understanding of any new developments in Russia and Ukraine.
So there's two sides of it. Russia, Putin is trying desperately to show that he's in power, that he controls everything, to knock down any sort of dissent that still exists. In Ukraine, we're just seeing continued incremental advances against the Russians. No big breakthroughs, but slow but steady progress on all the fronts. I mean, I remind everybody that it took, I think it was 90 days for the American troops to fight their way out of the area of Normandy during World War II.
Right.
And the United States had overwhelming air advantage, right, during that period of time, and an overwhelming logistics advantage over the Germans. But fighting's hard.
The fog of war, for sure. Yep. Mark, finally, before I let you go, we have the July 4th tomorrow. It's the 247th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, not necessarily signed, but the day that it was introduced. Any thoughts for us as an historian and person who's...
Absolutely. So, look, you know, we forget how brave those people were, right?
Yes.
Everybody who signed the Declaration of Independence a couple of days later basically put a price on their head.
Right.
A small band of people far away was taking on the largest, most powerful country in the world, and all for the idea of freedom and independence. And they were putting it all on the line. It was not at all clear that the end result was going to be an American victory, although I would say in retrospect, it was more clear. It's more clear in retrospect than people want to think, because the British were fighting far from their homes, and the Americans were fighting over their homes. But the reality is it took a lot of courage.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of courage to fight for basic idea of freedom and independence. And the American Revolution that followed, or was part of it, gave way to revolutions all over South America and eventually all over the world, where people came to the conclusion they do not want to be ruled by another people. And we have to, you know, remember how great these people were, because they really were. They were giants on earth. And we need a few of them now. You know, can we bring some of them back? It'll be very useful.
Absolutely. Also reflect on the fact that, you know, for the revolutionaries, for those who are fighting for freedom, not every American, not every person, a colonial citizen, was necessarily on their side. There were turncoats. There were people that were really pulling for the British or wouldn't state so. So it was a difficult circumstances. And of course,
absolutely. I mean, not everyone wanted independence. Some people were very happy to be subjects of the Brits, and it was comfortable for some people. And so, you know, you had to have an idea of what the value of freedom is in order to be willing to take those risks. But there were enough of them, obviously, and it was a tremendous point in America, not only in American history, it's a tremendous point in world history.
Right.
It changed the direction of the world. Those patriots who created the Declaration of Independence and then signed it changed the direction of the world, and we need to continue to honor them.
It's absolutely.
And barbecues.
And the other thing I'd like to underscore, too, and I think you'd agree, is that the Declaration of Independence led to the Constitution, which is probably one of the only documents ever created that people agreed to the rule of the land by law, as opposed to chaos and revolution.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mark, I just genuinely appreciate your commentary here on the show. I hope you have a great 4th of July, and thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right, coming up, we're going to visit with Larry Reed. He is the president emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. That and more right here on The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of The Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.